everybody. Today on Stand Up and Stand Out, we're working on our Zen in honor of April being Stress Awareness Month. I'm fortunate to have the lovely Aditi Ramchandani on our Stand Up and Stand Out podcast today. Even if listeners find this episode later in the year, I'm sure there's no limit to the things stressing us out lately, so I know this will be beneficial. Aditi Ramchandani equips working professionals with tools to reduce burnout and create the personal success and happiness they desire. Aditi became an emotional wellness speaker and coach after years of battling with her own depression, burnout, and a half-paralyzed face at age 20 due to stress. It is her personal mission to equip others with the wellness tools they were never taught in school. I'm delighted to have Aditi on our show today for our topic, Choosing You in Times of Stress. Welcome, Aditi.
Thank you so much for having me here, Nikki.
It's so great to have you. I know you've started this wonderful new business. You're doing coaching, you're doing speaking. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on and how you've been able to help people through this wonderful crisis we've been having over the last year?
Yeah, absolutely. So as Nikki mentioned, I'm an emotional wellness speaker and coach, and I help professionals transform their stress with self-care. Stress has become such an important topic, especially now with everything that's been going on these last 15 to 18 months with the pandemic. People's pressures have gone up, their responsibilities have gone up, their lifestyles have changed, and it has caused a lot of stress on people. And what I've realized is we've never actually been taught how to deal with stress. And I think it's probably one of the most important life skills that we need. And we've never been taught it in school, never been taught it at home, at work, right? Now at work, it's starting to change where wellness programs are starting to emerge, but we've never really been taught this critical skill on how to deal with overwhelm, burnout, stress. And I think the topic is just so pertinent. It's choosing you in times of stress. And I think it's almost like you can't do anything else in those moments. When you've come to a point when your body is starting to give out, it's like you have to choose yourself at that point or you're not going to make it. You know, 90% of doctor's visits are stress related. So if you can just imagine, if we were able to shift our relationship with stress, shift the way we manage it, the way we experience it, how would that shift our health? How would that shift, you know, our doctor's visits and things like that? And as Nikki, you had mentioned in my bio that I experienced a half paralyzed face when I was 20 years old. So literally the right side of my face was not working. My eye would not blink. Like literally my roommates in college were like, girl, your eye is not closing. I was so like, scary. What do you mean? Yeah. And, like, we were sitting at like the dining table in our dorm apartment. And I thought I was having an allergic reaction. So I was like, okay, like it'll go away. And, you know, this side of my nose was not working. This side of my mouth was not working. Like I literally could not grasp my lips around a glass. Like I couldn't do this.
Wow. That is so scary.
So scary. And like, this is such a simple act. And I like never take it for granted anymore. Cause I'm like, wow, like I didn't even know that that functioning in our body is important for us to be able to do something so simple like that. And I had to wear an eye patch around campus for like 2 months.
Oh my goodness.
And I always joke, like, can you imagine the social suicide that I experienced? Because people were like, did you get beat up though? Like what happened? And I'm like, my face got paralyzed due to stress. Like, I didn't even know that could happen. You know what I mean? So that was a really big wake up call for me because I didn't know that your internal emotions can show up on your external body like that. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge wake up call. And I remember after that, I took a stress management class in college. And then I started doing yoga and started exploring different things. But I really wasn't seeing it as a popular thing. Like people taking care of, like we notice people take care of their body health in terms of exercising and eating right. Like we hear that all the time, But what about the other parts of us? And, you know, I really think about stress management as nurturing your body, mind, and your spirit. Yeah. And mostly we're focusing on our body and only one part of our body, only, you know, the eating and the exercising, but there's more components to the body as well. And then what about your mind and your spirit? Just think about how your mind is racing constantly. Right? We literally burn ourselves out with our own thoughts in our head.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I write about this in my book as well, is, you know, the reason why I left my corporate job, why I started my own company and left to start doing all of this stuff, is I had this horrible panic attack, just absolutely horrible. I was crying and laying on the bathroom floor. And I'm just like, why am I doing this to myself? This is terrible. There's nothing worth this feeling. There's no amount of money, none of it. And it wasn't the first time I'd had a panic attack like that. And I'd had adrenal fatigue and everything like that before. And I also talk about how I was in this exercise mode of triathlons, marathons, all these super high intense things, and forgetting the balance, the meditation and the yoga. And again, overstressing my system because there was never that moment of calm. So I'm glad to hear you say that that unity is so important.
So important. And it's funny, you know, when you're saying the yoga and meditation, there was a time in my life where I would roll my eyes at all of these things. And I think there's still many people who do, you know, and I want to address that too, because I feel that, you know, we have this idea that, oh, it's only for some people, or it's for those kind of people, not for me. But really, I think what we're missing here is the power of these practices to bring you back to yourself. That's what's really important here. And I feel like our lives are so busy, are so full, that we are literally losing ourselves within each and every day. So these practices actually bring us back to the truth of who we are. And I was watching this interview with Panache Desai this week. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a spiritual teacher, and he talks about how nature doesn't question what it is. Like a rock doesn't like say, like, why am I a rock? It doesn't overanalyze like what it's doing or where it's going. A tree just allows itself to unfold and become what it's meant to be. And we are the only species that overanalyzes and overthinks everything. And I really found that to be powerful, because he was like, how can you let go of that? The overanalyzation is gonna, of course, always be there to some degree, but how can you think about that for yourself? Like, how can you come into your own natural order? Like, there is a natural order already unfolding. You are meant to sprout into something unique and special. But when we are constantly in this overdrive, we're kind of stopping that natural order. We're stopping that natural existence of what we're meant to be. And, you know, especially with the marketing in this world, you know, always telling us how we can feel better, look better, do better, have a better life. You know, we're in this constant chase, and that is exhausting. And so as I was going through this journey, I realized not a lot of people were actually managing their stress, taking care of themselves. So I ended up kind of getting lost in the rat race again after that experience when I was 20 years old, because I was just following the crowd, you know, like, what's everyone else doing? I got to catch up to what everyone else is doing, because I thought, you know, maybe I was doing something wrong. Yeah. And then at that time too, I was kind of judging the whole like space, even though I myself was going to yoga. I was just like, oh yeah, you know, like I wouldn't like talk about it
over there.
Yeah, like I'll just compartmentalize it over here. But I really found that again in the workplace, you know, I was in corporate America after I graduated from college, and I found myself in that space again. You know, the competition, the politics, the climbing up the ladder. And I just found myself super depressed and unhappy and at my highest weight in my corporate career. And that's when I really started asking certain questions. It's like, what am I doing here? Like, what do I really want to do? Like, am I just going after these things because that's what I think I should do? And I think that in itself causes its own level of stress, right? Because you're not actually living in alignment with what feels true to you.
You're out of harmony. Yeah.
that creates its own level of stress. So like, that's where I guess you can call my quarter life crisis started happening. And I ended up leaving my corporate job and going for my master's degree. And, you know, it's interesting because it's choosing you in times of stress. And it's like, so many people had so many comments about my decision, you know, saying, oh, well, why are you getting a master's in marketing? Why don't you get an MBA instead? You know, what are your plans afterwards? And, you know, that just caused more stress, you know, because I'm like, look, I was already stressed in my life and I was trying to create what I want to go to. And now all these people are bombarding me with all these questions and, you know, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? Or why don't you get a house instead of getting a master's degree? And I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's so many questions. And because my audience is a lot of millennials just getting out of school or just starting their career, I think so many of them, especially in this chaotic time, are questioning those same things. And I remember that too. When I got out of school, I immediately went into my MBA because I was like, no, I want to finish this because once I start making money, I ain't going back. And, right. But all my friends were going into startups and, you know, I lived in Silicon Valley. They were making tons of money and they were jumping from startup to startup and like stock options and all these crazy things were getting thrown at them. They had nice cars. And I'm like, oh crap, I think I made the wrong decision because you start comparing, you know, and then everyone's like, oh man, you wasted your time. You should be doing this. But then every single one of them got laid off. Oh. And so there was this domino effect because the kind of Silicon Valley bubble had burst a bit and they were struggling. And all of a sudden they were like, oh man, maybe you did make the right choice. Maybe had I just gone in school for a little bit longer, I would have been more better prepared for kind of the next thing, right?
So, right.
You never know.
And what I think is so powerful about stress is I believe that stress has a message for us. Like stress is telling you about an imbalance you're experiencing. And if you can go deeper into it, and this is part of what we've never been taught, right? It's like actually go into stress because we're all about making the stress go away. But yeah, it's like, go away, right? It's like, stuff it under the rug. And as I realized when I had Bell's palsy, it's like, even though I was stuffing my emotions under the rug, it showed up in my face. So what I realized is stress needs to move through you. It is an emotion and it cannot be clogged up inside of you. It has to move. So how can you pay attention to the stress you're feeling, understand it deeper, and maybe understand, you know, where are you not feeling in alignment to your life, your choices? Where are you doing things that you think you should be doing them versus it's something you actually want to do? And that's its own self-discovery process. So since you said a lot of the listeners are in the millennial area, it's like, that's an intense time of confusion, right? Because you're kind of like trying to figure out who you are. You're also hearing all the noise from what everyone else is saying, but then you also have this inner voice talking to you very subtly. Yeah. And like we joke sometimes, like it's when you don't listen to your inner voice, it starts getting louder and louder and louder until it like knocks you upside your head. Like, have you ever heard that story where it's kind of like, oh, I've been thinking about leaving this job forever. And then I ended up getting laid off. Like the universe just speeded up the process for me.
Yeah. Well, and I say that too. It's like, you know, I dreamed about this book and this business for 10 years, but there was always like one excuse after another as to why I didn't do it. And a lot of it was that pressure from other people of like, you shouldn't do this, or you should be doing that, or you have to be more responsible. And almost like you're irresponsible if you're doing your own thing that you're actually passionate about. It's such a strange thing in our culture and it creates that stress. It's like, I'm stressed at the job I don't like. I'm stressed I'm not doing the thing I don't want to do. And I'm stressed that everybody is telling me that I need to do something.
Like, I just want to crawl into a hole at this point. Like,
and it takes a lot of bravery too to continue like, no, I know what I want. Because when you're young, you just don't always know. You haven't had enough experience sometimes.
And you're like, maybe I'm wrong.
Exactly. But you have to pick a path. And I think that's too where I want to really encourage people that it does take a bit of bravery. It does take that self-awareness and that time to yourself to sit down and think about what you're doing and think about what makes you happy and why you're stressed and what is not making you happy to start redirecting that energy towards something that'll make you more in tune with where you want to be in life, right? And calm that stress factor. Having my own business is definitely could be considered stressful, but I love it. I love every day getting up and doing what I want to do and helping people and really like connecting with people through this podcast and through whatever other nonsense I'm talking about in other places. Speaking of talking in other places, I know you're on Clubhouse and you've been doing some great forums there. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of the cool things you've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys are on Clubhouse, Clubhouse has been such a fun experience. It's basically like an audio podcast, I guess, but it's not recorded. So it's kind of this live audio conversation. And I've been doing these weekly self-care chats on Wednesdays where we talk about a self-care topic. We've talked about, you know, how celebration can boost your brain. We've talked about the power of emotional health. We've talked about boundaries, which is such a like interesting topic because it can be so difficult. And this month, for April, I am doing Motivational Mondays on Mondays. And I really wanted to create a space because Mondays is one of those days, right? You know what I'm talking about, where people have the Monday blues and they just don't want to get up and it's just a drag. So I was like, man, what if we can have a dose of motivation on Mondays? And I bring in speakers who speak for 10 minutes and bring in a message for hope, healing, and empowerment. So on Clubhouse, my handle is Aditi Creative, A-D-I-T-I Creative. And that's actually my same handle on Instagram and also my website. So
fantastic. So many wonderful places people can find you. I know you have a lot of great events coming up and you're trying to book some new speaking events. What else would you like to be doing? What's sort of your dream as we continue into the rest of 2021 and beyond?
You know, I would love to create a space for people to really grow in that self-care, like to really nurture themselves. I don't feel like we have a safe space to be able to do that. And I'm actually launching a free self-care summit that's going to be this month as well. And that's to really start getting the conversation going. Like my dream is having self-care retreats where people can come and just unload all of their stuff because maybe they don't have the space to do it in their daily lives. You know what I mean? And just have that space for self-discovery, because not only do you need to do it when you're younger, you got to do it at every stage of your life, maybe even multiple times a year, you know, because things change, you grow, situations change, and your perspectives change as you go through different experiences. So I feel like self-discovery is this ongoing thing that is always going on. And I really want to travel. I want to travel and speak around the world. So, hey, if you want to bring me to come speak to your group, hit me up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think all of us, we've been missing that connection. You know, I think this year especially sort of exacerbated. If you felt that way before, you really feel that way now when you haven't had that connection and being able to just get around people again. And I think connect in a way that's not over video, although we're fortunate to have this technology in this time, but it's simply just not the same most of the time. And so I think that's great that those summits are coming and that you're going to do more of them. You know, I envision, I think similar things. I want to build a network, a collective, that's why Scream Chameleon Collective, to bring people together, to allow them to network, to allow them to talk. Because I think that's also the thing is, I always felt less stressed when I could talk to my friends or talk to coworkers in a safe environment and be like, man, this is what's driving me crazy. This is what's hurting me. And being able to let it out, feel someone else say, yeah, I feel the same way. And all of a sudden you don't feel alone. And that network can help alleviate that stress and get you connected with them, you know, in ways that maybe you didn't know to connect with them in the past.
I agree. And I wanted to bring something up that you brought up that I think is so powerful, is the bravery and the courage that is required, because I think that's a missing piece of it that we don't realize. Choosing you in times of stress requires courage, absolutely, because we do have this kind of guilt built in, you know, about choosing yourself, doing something for yourself. But a good reminder is, you know, when your own cup is not full, you're not able to give, you're not able to show up as your full self anyways. So being able to take that time for yourself, and even if people have comments about it, you know, there was this one manager at my corporate job who I found out that like after 5 p.m., she will not respond to any emails and you will not hear from her until 8 a.m. the next morning. And I was like, wow, why are more people not doing that? But like she had the courage to stand up and stand out and say, this is what's going to work for me. And this is what I can do. I will dedicate all the things, all the time that I need to this job, and I will deliver all my deliverables, but I will not respond to emails between this window. And I think that's so powerful. It's such a great example to remind you that the courage that it does involve to be able to care for yourself, to choose yourself. And you don't want to wait till you're in a tragedy to start paying attention, because that's what happened to me when I had Bell's palsy. It's like, I was already way past my limits, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's it. There is such a thing as positive peer pressure as well. And one of the things I really want to just encourage this next generation is there was so much, I think, in my generation where folks have been pressured of like conform, just say, yes, do what you need to do to get ahead and the money will solve it all. And you realize quite quickly that it doesn't, that stress builds up. You end up neglecting other things, your family life, your personal health, and it's not okay. And I really want, as those people start to become leaders, they also think about this differently, right? And they continue to lead the generation after them and say, no, we will set boundaries. We will have balance. We will take care of our family life and ourselves, you know, as much as we're taking care of our career and our livelihood, right? Each thing gives us a different type of fulfillment, but they have to stay in balance, right? And sometimes one thing needs more attention than the other, depending on, like you said, what you're going through in that particular part of your life. So I love the idea of these retreats. So fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Aditi. On our website, we will have show notes as well as links to all of Aditi's wonderful website, Clubhouse, social media accounts so you can follow her and see what she's up to. And most importantly, book her as a speaker. She will come to your event and she will absolutely shine and you guys will feel that zen and peace afterwards. So thank you so much, Aditi. It's been wonderful having you today.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
I hope everyone enjoyed episode 5 of Stand Up and Stand Out. Aditi showed us today how to choose you in times of stress. The wonderful, the zen, the peaceful Aditi is available for speaking events and so much more. I'm so happy to have met her through my speaking group, and I hope you guys have learned a little bit through this lesson. So thanks again for listening. You can catch us on YouTube for a video and anywhere else where the cool kids hang out that do podcasts. Catch you guys later. Have a good one.